we got to get back on track, don't we? We got to get back on track and say, hey, look, I know today if I go where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. Satan ain't tricking me. He ain't fooling me. I said fooled. That's a word up in here. You're up the hollow. Fooled is a word. Well, why not? Look it up. Three Mount Wesley on Google. Fooled. Definition. Dude, I'm fooled. That's what Satan wants you. That's the mindset that Satan wants you in. A fooled mindset. To where he's making everything look good, but it's not coming from God. But you're like walking along going, yeah, baby, guess what God did for me this week? Will you tell me? Because you ain't been in church for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 months, a year. You ain't opened your Bible. You ain't really prayed about anything. So where do you think that come from? I think that came from God. If you're not living God's way, he's not going to give you blessings. Amen? If you're getting blessings and you're out of the will of God, they're coming from Satan. Amen? They're not from God. We got to get back into the answer. We got to get back into the reason. We got to get back into a love that says, I ain't going to hell.
Amen.
Amen? We got to get back into a love that says, I want heaven and nothing else. That says, I want heaven and not the world. We got to be part of the world, right? But not of the world. We got to live kingdom minded. Amen. We got to live Jesus focused. Amen. Today's title, to give you a little hint, in our book of Colossians, this is week 5 that we've been in this. But today's title is Jesus is the answer. What?
Amen.
What? Jesus is the answer. To every question we got, to every question that we've ever had or will ever ask, Jesus is the answer to it. Not Satan, not what the world tells us, amen? Not what peer pressure tells us is the answer, but God Himself, through Jesus, through the written Word of God, is the answer, amen? Your scripture, when we get to it, is going to come from the book of Colossians. Go figure, since we're in week 5 of that. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. That's Colossians 6, or 2, 6 through 23. We'll get there in a minute. Oh, I'm tired already. How about y'all? But I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Yes.
I'm glad that I know Jesus is my answer to any problems that I come up with and have. Amen. I put my readers on. Yeah. Give y'all a little story, because y'all know I don't know nothing about Spanish. I can't. The only Spanish I can speak is fajita, and I probably pronounce that wrong. But I had a while back ago. I had some friends that went to a place in Mexico called Puerto Vallarta. How many of y'all ever heard of that? Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Neither one of them spoke a bit of Spanish. They wanted to be able to communicate a little bit down there. And somebody told us a Spanish word for them to use. How many of y'all know some Spanish words? How many of y'all know like one or two of them? Enough to be dangerous to yourself. Amen. Not enough to actually hold a conversation, but enough to be dangerous to yourself. But the word that somebody told them to use was bueno. Did I pronounce that right?
Bueno.
Bueno. I'm close. Bueno. And that's a perfectly legitimate Spanish word, isn't it? We could use it in Mexico all day long. And we could communicate with those Mexican people with the Spanish word bueno. If we used it correctly. Amen? If we used it correctly. See, the Spanish word bueno means good. But they were told that it meant hello. They were told it meant hello instead of good. So everybody that they met, they greeted them with bueno. And they looked at them like they were some crazy Americans. Because guess what? They were crazy Americans. And they thought they were saying hello. But they were telling everyone we met, or that they met, either we were good or they were good. They were either saying their own self was good or the other people was good. Whew. That would be a fun time, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have any other clue what you were saying, but you were thinking you were saying the right thing. Amen? There's a lot of people in the world that are doing the religious version of Bueno today. Somebody tells them something's true. Somebody teaches them that something's true. Somebody insists that they're right, and you must do it the right way. Their right way. So many just accept that things is true, as my friends did with the Mexican word Bueno. Amen? It happens around us, all around us today, don't it? Somebody says something is no longer a sin, that God doesn't really mean that. Oh, we're going to roll up in there in a minute anyway. Because I don't know if it's in here. I don't think He'd give us authority to change the word. Did He? He said it was infallible truth until the end time, until He comes back. So if it's in there, if it's a sin then, guess what? That's what He meant. Flat out. No choices in the matter. Amen? Somebody says that you can only worship God if you do it like this or if you do it like that. Somebody says that they have the truth that's been hidden for a millennium. How many of y'all have had people tell you, hey, I got the true Jesus. I got the true gospel. I can tell you all about it. And there ain't been a word and there ain't spent a day in the Bible. Amen? How many of y'all know pastor or prophets like that? False prophets is what we were told in the Bible that would come upon the earth. Amen? And we got people everywhere accepting and repeating everything they hear is true. They don't bother to investigate it themselves. They don't bother. Hey, they're at home. They don't bother looking up on Google. Y'all can find all kinds of stuff on Google. But some people are too lazy to bother. Amen? Some people are too lazy with their religious lives to bother checking out things that they're told. Bother checking to look them up. Amen? They don't think about how it goes counter to everything that God tells us. Amen? They forget what Jesus said. They forget what Jesus did. Amen? They just tell everybody Bueno because that's what they've been told. They've been taught that one thing. Amen? We're picking back up in our series today in the book of Colossians. We're going to get to the heart of the problem today. How many of y'all know y'all got a heart problem?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I still got a heart problem. As long as I'm on this earth and walking, I'm still going to have a heart problem. Amen. Our heart problem doesn't stop until we meet Jesus. Amen. The Colossian church faced a lot of opposition and misinformation in this time. They lived in a society that opposed everything that they taught, all that they stood for. There were people within the church who had messed up views of God. How many of y'all know we got people in the church today that got messed up views of God? Amen? If they're living in a sin lifestyle and they're in a leadership role in the church, guess what? They got a messed up view of God. Amen? And all this opposition and misinformation was threatening to splinter the Colossian church. Paul was writing to encourage them. He was also writing to remind them of the truth. Amen? The truth of Jesus. He wrote them to help them avoid the misinformation. He wrote them to keep them from being crushed by the pressure. How many of y'all feel like y'all being crushed today? Being pressed upon? Amen? It's good to be pressed a little bit. Amen? But we got to let God take over and let it overflow. Amen? What we're going to look at today, though, is the heart of what Paul wanted the Colossian church to know. He goes on the offensive against the pressures the Colossians were facing. And as we've been going through Colossians, we've kept emphasizing some things. We find ourselves today in the 21st century church facing the exact same things that the Colossian church faced. We live in a society that lives and teaches that things that are counter to the teachings of the Bible. Amen? And we see some of the same misinformation and heresy within the church today that they seen in the Colossian time. So the book of Colossians is to us today as much as it was to the Colossian church 2,000 years ago. As much as it was written back then, it holds firm and stands true today. Because what we say God's Word does, it's infallible. Amen? It's true from cover to cover. It's unchanging. Amen? What was meant then is meant today. So the same thing that he was writing about back then is the same thing as we got today. So let's get into our scripture passage. Again, it's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. I have the NIV version. I think that's what Betty has up on the screen. If you got it at home, pull up your phone, your tablet, your iPad, your notepad. Something you can find the word in. Amen. Again, it's the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6 through 23. Verse 6 starts out. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him, everybody say in Him. Everybody at home, type in Him in the comments. In Him, you are also circumcised with circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Amen? He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing, I'll get that out, over them through by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility or the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection from the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules have to do with such things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your scripture, Lord. Lord, I ask, as always, that you get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. That you allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, that as always, it be your words and not mine spoken, Lord. Lord, that we open our heart, mind, and soul to the blessings and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, that we would all come out today growing a little bit more in our faith, Lord. Growing a little bit more in our love for you today, Lord. Lord, growing a little bit closer to you today, Lord. Growing a little bit more in our knowledge that Jesus is truly the answer for everything that we need, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. I ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. So first off, let's look at some of the misinformation that Paul points out to the Colossian church. Verse 8 talks about philosophy. The word philosophy is a compound of two Greek words. The Greek word philos, which is one of the Greek forms of love, for love. And the Greek word sophia, which means wisdom. So, philosophy means a love of wisdom. Philosophy is a love of thinking. Now, philosophy is not bad by itself, is it? Philosophy is not bad by itself. Philosophy made some great gains and advancements through Christian philosophers. Some of the greatest thinkers the world has ever known have actually been Christians. Through proper philosophy, we learn to see the world and everything around us a little bit better. Paul wasn't warning about philosophy itself, guys. Paul says to stay away from hollow or deceptive philosophy. No good philosophy, in other words. Amen? Hollow means there ain't no substance to it. There ain't no meat on the bone. Amen? Hollow philosophy. And deceptive means it's used to deceive people. Amen? So no meat on the bones to get you away from where you should be, to deceive you. The secular world prides itself on wisdom and thinking. They've taught God right out of existence. How many of y'all know that? The secular world has basically taught God right out of existence, thought him out of existence. They built their philosophy on what Paul calls worldly principles, not godly principles. Amen? They've removed God from the equation. They've taken him completely out of any thoughts that they have. Amen? Their thinking and wisdom depends on the non-existence of God. Paul tells the church not to fall for that type of philosophy. And guess what? Today, 2,000 years later, we're here telling the church, don't fall for that type of philosophy. Don't follow for hollow and deceptive philosophy. Amen? If any teaching, wisdom, or philosophy has no inclusion of God, of the God of the Bible, it's wrong. Amen? If God's not in it, it's not right. It's not correct. Amen? It's hollow because without God included in it, there's no substance to it. We can't think and perceive our world without including its creator. Amen? There would be no world without God creating us. Amen? We were created in his image, right? So if there was no God in the world, like the worldly philosophers want you to think, there would be no world here. There would be no us. Amen? There would be no human species walking around. And that's also deceptive when they get you to want to believe world without the Creator? It's deceiving people of the existence of God. It's leading people away from seeking God, from looking for the answer. It's just telling people, just go do what you want to do. Just hang out with whoever you want to be. To act however you want to act. You ain't got to worry. There ain't nothing important in that Bible. There ain't no word in there that you need to hear. They're trying to take God away from us. Amen? It's leading people away from knowing His existence. Or even seeking that relationship. That what? That relationship with Him. I'll get that word out. We live right smack dab in the middle of a world with hollow and deceptive thinking, don't we? God's been removed from smart thinking. If we mention faith in Jesus, we're automatically seen as non-thinkers. I seen a story today. Hey, it's not a political note, but I seen a story today that the IRS had sent out a letter to some people that said their faith-based organization, whether it be a church or some other type of faith-based organization, did not qualify for tax-free exemption anymore because they designated all faith-based organizations as Republicans, not Democrats. I'm like, what in the world? That's just the world trying to tell us we're non-thinkers. We're non-thinkers. We don't even really matter. We're on one side. And they're wanting to take God out of it. Amen? But if we mention it, we're non-thinkers. Some churches have fallen to those hollow and deceptive practices, haven't they, and philosophies. We've seen churches fall and close all across the U.S., all around the world because of that. Amen? Jesus is downplayed, if not completely eliminated from their beliefs. There are some people, there are some churches and some pastors that preach. What am I trying to say? A generosity gospel. But don't really preach Jesus as part of it. It's all about the generosity side. He's downplayed. Not a big part of it. Amen. I'm glad we're not like that here. How about you? I'm glad we believe that there is a Jesus. That He is the only way. And it don't make us non-thinkers. I think it makes it smarter. It makes us the smart people rather than the ones that think He don't exist. Amen. Paul says, don't fall for it. Paul told the Colossian church back then, don't fall for it. He's telling us the same thing today. Don't fall for it. Don't fall in that trap. Don't fall in that trap. That meat might look good on that metal, but when that trap closes up around you, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad, especially if it's in your soul. Amen? Don't fall into that trap. It may sound reasonable. They may be able to argue you into a corner. How many of y'all have ever got argued into a corner? But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Just like Paul tells them back then. Don't be deceived. Anyone or any philosophy that excludes God is incorrect. It's wrong. It's not right. It's not right thinking. It's not right teaching. Amen? So Paul says to the Colossian church back then and to us today, stay away from it. Stay away from it. You ain't got to leave the world, but you got to leave that situation. You got to leave that philosophy if it's not God in the middle of it. Amen? Paul also calls out tradition in the church. He mentions it in verse 8 and covers it much more in verses 16 to 18 and also in verses 21 through 23. He tells the Colossian church not to get caught up in religious tradition. He tells them about eating and drinking. He talks about the religious festivals, the celebrations, and the Sabbaths. He says, don't get caught up in tradition. Amen? Jesus is the answer, not tradition. Amen. Jesus, not tradition, not what you've always done in church, is the answer. Only Jesus is the answer. Amen. Tradition is like philosophy. Just like philosophy in itself is not bad, neither is tradition. We have traditions about food and other things. They were going to eat back then, and they were ready. A tradition that they had set after services. Tradition. That's a good thing. That's a good type of tradition. Amen. Traditions are not always bad. Paul, though, is talking more about a different kind of tradition here. He mentions the eating and drinking that was ceremonial. He mentions festivals and days that were taught to be necessary. Necessary to accept, to be accepted by God. Some of the Colossian church was teaching that certain things had to be done to be accepted by God. Without doing these things, kind of like laws, without doing these things, you can never be right with God. God would absolutely reject you if you did not do these certain things. Paul says those types of traditions didn't count for anything anymore. Amen. That was like the old law. When Jesus came, that old law of tradition of if you haven't done this, you ain't accepted, was gone. Jesus left that on the cross, just like he did our sins. Amen. God instituted those things in the Old Testament as a shadow of things that were to come. All these things pointed to Jesus, to our Savior. Amen. Now that Jesus has come, he fulfilled everything that was mentioned in the Old Testament. Y'all hear that? When Jesus came, he fulfilled everything that was in the Old Testament and left us with freedom in Christ. Amen. The old things are no longer necessary. Nothing is necessary but Jesus now. Amen. Nothing is necessary in our lives but Jesus now. We see that so much in our church today, don't we? You can't worship God with music less than 100 years old. God only speaks through a certain translation of the Bible. We've seen both of those, don't we? We hear both of those every now and then. You have to... Oh, hit this and it'll kill me. You have to dress just like we did in the 1950s for God to accept you. We have to dress a certain way for God to accept us. That's not right, is it? Not right at all. It's got to be done that way. It's got to be done that way. How many of y'all know that tradition can kill a church if Jesus is not in the center part of it? Amen. Paul says don't get caught up in those traditions either. Don't try to add to Jesus. Y'all hear that? Don't try to add to Jesus. Don't try to take away from Jesus. Salvation and righteousness are found in Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus Christ alone. Nobody else has our salvation and righteousness. Amen? So where do these things come from? How in the world, or how has the world gotten so far from right thinking? How have some in the church gotten so caught up in tradition? Paul gets to the heart of the matter in verses 18 and 19. And verse 18 says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up." Yeah, it's all about me. Puffy, puffy. "They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together its ligaments and sinews." grows as God causes it to grow. Right there, Paul gets to the crux of the problem. Why does hollow and deceptive philosophy develop? Why do wrong and dangerous traditions develop? They come from a lost connection with the head. Y'all know who that head is, right? It ain't me. It ain't our church board. Amen? It's Jesus. A lost connection with the head. Lost connection with Jesus. These things develop when a connection with Jesus is lost. When Jesus is no longer honored in a society, the connection to Him is lost. Bad traditions rise up when what Jesus has done for us is forgotten. When His salvation is forgotten, bad connections rise up. So Paul reminds the Colossians of Jesus again. Paul never strays from the message of Jesus. He is always pointing people back. No matter how hard he had to be on them, he was still pointing them back to Jesus at all times. Amen? Verse 9 through 15 serve as another reminder. In Jesus, we have everything. We have everything we need in our Lord and Savior, Jesus. There is nothing that the world can offer you or me that is going to be more than what God has for us. The blessings that will flow from Him are far outweigh what Satan and hell is going to offer you or show you. Because if you follow Him, you're not going to end up in heaven. You're going to be unhappy, burning every day without quench in hell. Amen. In Jesus, we have everything. We have forgiveness. We have eternal life. We have freedom. How do we avoid hollow and deceptive philosophies? We keep our focus on Jesus. We wake up in the morning, and the first thing we let our mind go to is Jesus. We get up for breakfast. First thing our mind goes to, Jesus. For lunch, midday, all day long, 24/7, 365, our focus, our life needs to be on Jesus. Not Satan, not the world, not the pressures that are coming from the outside forces, but in Jesus alone. One that can take those pressures off of us. Amen. How do we avoid misleading traditions? We remember what Jesus has already done. Amen? He has taken away a lot of things that we had to be a traditionalist about with His death, burial, and resurrection on that cross for us. Amen? The way we keep our focus is that we keep Jesus front and center. We don't let Satan have any space in our thoughts, in our mind, in our presence, in our soul. Amen? Has some grandiose philosophy got your attention? Has some off-centered philosophy grabbed your thoughts? In this wisdom of the world becoming exciting to you, does it include Jesus? Then if it doesn't, it's hollow. It's deceptive. Amen? And as Paul said, stay away from it. If it don't have Jesus, stay away from it. Amen? Jesus is our all in all. Do you have room for Him? Have you opened room in your heart, your mind, and your soul for Him? Are you ready to walk with Him every day? To keep that focus on Him to where Satan, when he tries to come in, he's like, whoa, get off me. I can't get near that person because Jesus is flowing all out of them. That's the type of focus we need on Jesus. That is, we're so focused on it that it flows out of His righteousness flows out of us. And then Satan says, man, I got to leave him alone. I can't even. There's no way in the world I'm going to be able to get in a foothold in them. We have like room for Jesus every day. Amen. He's just a step away. If you missed him, if you step back from him, he's just a step away. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord, allowing your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank you that Jesus truly is our answer for every problem, every situation, every issue, Lord, every addiction that we might be going through, Lord. Lord, we know that you are truly the answer, Jesus. Lord, we ask you just to put a hedge of protection around each one of us, Lord. Lord, give us a focus that will be mindset on you, Lord, and you only, Jesus. Lord, that when Satan came rolling around, he'd be like, I'm staying away from them people because I ain't wasting my time. They're too Jesus crazy. I want to be Jesus crazy. I want to be living crazy for you in this world, Lord, to where somebody sees me and says, that must be Jesus that changed Ronnie. Because I know I couldn't have done it, Lord, without you. And Lord, did they see it and say, hey, you know, that's a good change that Jesus is giving. I think I want some of that. That's the type of the Jesus life that we need to be living every day, Lord. Lord, I ask that you put that passion, desire, and utterance on each one of us, Lord, to want to live like that for you every day, Lord, to where that everybody that sees us says, they've changed, and I like it, Lord. Lord, we know when we come to our end day, Lord, the ones that know you, Lord, we know where we're going, Lord. Lord, we're ready and waiting for you to return, Jesus. In your most precious name, I pray.